second time visitor. Have your Bibles with you. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah. We're going to begin reading with the first verse, and it's very powerful, powerful. How many of you know that our theme for this year is finish? This is the year of finish. We want to finish some things. We start a lot of things, but we need to finish some things. We start. Most of us are guilty of starting things the first of the year, such as diets and this sort of thing, but we need to finish them. This is our year of finish, our year of finish. In the sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah, the word of God begins in the first verse, "Within the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, high and lifted up," some of your versions will say, "with the train of his robe filling the temple." In the year of King Uzziah's death, Isaiah went to the temple and he saw the Lord sitting on a throne and the train of his robe filled the temple. It was a magnificent sight. Uzziah was a king. He reigned over Judah for 52 years. And during the time of Uzziah's reign, God blessed Judah. Judah just was prosperous, and people were having more and doing more. And they became so accustomed and so comfortable with Uzziah's reign as king over Judah. And when later in life, Uzziah decided that he was going to help the priest out, and so he went in to do priestly duties, and God struck him with leprosy. And he lived the rest of his life with leprosy. It's your finish that counts. It's your finish that counts. He had 42 years of good reign. And at the last 10 years, he had leprosy. He was unable to connect with people. How many of you know that if you don't connect with people, you're not going to be able to serve the Lord? There's not going to be a, but we got to connect with one another. We got to be there for one another. We got to connect with one another. Uzziah could not connect. So his son took over the kingship and began to reign over Judah. And God still blessed Judah. I love this. That lets me know that my blessing and your blessing is not dependent on one person. You know, it's not depending on if someone does exactly what God tells them to do, then I'm going to be blessed. No, your blessing is based on your obedience to God. And Judah stayed obedient to God, and God continued to bless them. And so during the year of King Uzziah's death, there was this great change, and people were wondering what they're going to do, and who's going to do what, and is God going to continue to bless us, because he's blessed us under King Uzziah's reign. So we're just wondering what's going to happen. And so in those times of uncertainty, Isaiah went to the temple to seek the face of God. It was in times of uncertainty. In this book, God's Not Dead, it's for these times of uncertainty. We're reliving those times. We don't know what tomorrow holds for each other. I thought so many times over the past few weeks in preparing this message, not necessarily for today, but whenever God would have me preach it, I was preparing for this message, and I thought to myself, how many times do we get up in the morning and get busy and not even stop to think, this may be the last time we get to praise the Lord. This may be the last time that we get into the presence of God. And I thought so many times about that. And you know, when we come to church, this may be the last time some people will absolutely get to worship or praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you to make the best of it. I want to encourage you that when you get in the presence of the Lord, enjoy every moment of it. Every moment of it. Let me tell you, it is a privilege and a pleasure to just be in the presence of God. It's good to be in his anointing and allow his love to just flow through us and allow him to speak to us. He's such a great God and such a loving God. We just need to get into his presence and enjoy each and every time. And so King Uzziah had passed away, and Isaiah goes to the temple and he wants to speak to God. He wants to hear from God. It was a times of uncertainty. And the Bible says that when he went to the temple, he saw the Lord in this vision. He went and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, some of your versions would say, a lofty God. He saw him as who he was. He saw him as someone that could take care of the problems of Judah. He saw him as someone could take care of corporate problems and individual problems. He saw him as someone that would be able to take care of his personal situation. How many of you know that God takes care of us individually? God knows every one of our thoughts. He knows exactly where we are in life. He knows what's happening to us. But better than that, he knows what's going to happen to us. And so he prepares us to be able to accept those things that he knows is going to happen to us. So Isaiah goes to the temple. The Bible says that he saw the Lord high and lifted up in his reign. His train was filling the temple, and there were seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole, say the whole earth. The whole earth is full of his glory. How many of you know that there will come a time when the whole earth will be full of the glory of God? He looked and he saw him. In Acts, the first chapter, we can see where the guys from Israel, the servants, the disciples of Israel, standing around, and the two angels come to him, and they were just looking up, and Jesus ascended right before their eyes. And the angel said, one of the angels said, "You men of Israel, why are you gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus that you see ascending shall also descend in the like, in like manner." In other words, he's going to come back just the way he went up. And just where he went up, he's going to come back right there. Now watch this. I believe that you and I will really be able to see the glory of God filling the whole earth. I believe that one of these days, as he looked, Isaiah looked in that temple and he saw the glory of God filling the whole earth. I believe you and I will be able to see God's glory filling the whole earth. I don't know about you, but that gives me encouragement this morning. I know that we may go through some stuff and things may happen, but God is still God, and he's high and lofty, and he has control of everything, and his glory fills the whole earth. I just love to be able to think how glorious God really is. And biblical times, the Bible teaches us, and also history teaches us, and Judaism teaches us, that if a priest touched anything unclean, the priest would become unclean. That's the reason that when Jesus had gone and descended into hell and he was about to ascend into heaven, that he came back through and Mary went to worship him, and he said, "Don't touch me." He said, "For I've not yet ascended to my Father. The sacrifice has not yet been accepted." So the high priest could not touch anything unclean or he would become unclean. But the difference between Jesus and the normal high priest, that Jesus was so full of glory and so pure that if he touched anything unclean, instead of him becoming unclean, it became clean.
Bless the Lord.
It became clean. That's the power of God. That's the glory of God. Let me tell you something. You may have some problems dealing with yourself. You may have some problems in your head. You may have some problems in your thought pattern. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you need to let Jesus touch you spiritually, and he won't become unclean. You'll become clean. God will just clean you up, and he will just brush you off, and you can get up and walk away with a victory. I believe that God is trying to teach us something this morning, and that is the fact that he is enough to meet every need in your life.
Amen.
He is enough. I want to encourage you this morning to just know that whatever your need is, God is able to take care of it. He will minister to you when no one else can minister to you. He will meet you where you are and take you to where he is. He will get you out of your mess and put you in his glory. He will take care of those things that you cannot even imagine taking care of. Look at somebody and say, he's God. And he loves you. He's God, and he loves you, and he wants to minister to you this morning. He wants you to know who he is and how he wants to love on you. And one of the seraphim said, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, or Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." And watch this. And the foundations of the temple trembled at the voice. And the foundations of the temple. You know what? When God begins to speak, things move. You need something moved in your life? Let God speak to it. You know, sometimes when I'm praying, how many of you ever prayed and you pray for the same thing over several times and nothing even happens? And you're wondering, is it me? You begin to think, what's going on here? I pray and I pray and I pray and nothing happens. And so I begin to do a little exercise in my prayer life. How many of you know you need to be creative with God sometimes? You need to get his attention. You need to be creative with him. And so when I have things that are blocking me and I have hindrances in my life and I cannot speak to them and they move, I go to the next level and say, Lord, will you speak to it? If you speak to it, it's got to move. See, when God speaks, something moves. What's this? How many of you remember the story of Paul and Silas at Philippi when they were in the jail at Philippi? You remember what happened a little before midnight? Little before midnight, they just begin to pray and sing. Just pray and sing. Listen, in the worst circumstances a man could be in, they decided to give God a little glory. Can you just believe that? They just begin to, and the Bible tells us that if everything that was said or done was written down, the world would not control the book. So we know that we don't have everything written down. But I could just imagine the prayers that was going up. I cannot, knowing Paul and knowing the history of Paul, I would not be able to say that Paul was praying, Lord, get us out of this mess. Lord, take these chains and these fetters off of us. I can't imagine him. I could imagine Paul saying, Lord, the only height I could get out of this chain is to feed myself. But God, if you would just lengthen that chain or take, I'd love to get my hand up to you tonight. I would love to praise you. I would love to, right here in the middle of this prison, in this nasty cell, I would love to just get my hands up and love you and praise you and give you all the glory. And he punches Silas and said, Silas, I got a song in my heart. I got a song in my heart, and he just begins to sing a song to the Lord. And Paul and Silas are singing songs to God, songs of anointing, songs of victory, songs of freedom. They're just singing songs unto God. And guess what happened? The Bible says that there was an earthquake, and it shook the foundations of the world. Listen, there's another time when God speaks, something moves. Something moves. The foundation of the prison shook. And as the foundation of the prison shook, it loosed everybody. I don't know about you. I may not have the faith. I may not be able to pray. But I hope somebody in this building can touch heaven, because I know that if God frees them, he's going to free me. If he frees and sets them loose, he's going to free me. And I don't, that gives me excitement. That means I don't have to depend on me. I can depend on my brothers and sisters that someone is going to touch heaven. Are y'all okay this morning? What's this? Paul and Silas. Paul, he's a great biblical character, but he'd probably be the last candidate we'd hire as a pastor. We would never hire Paul. I mean, he would come in, he'd say, we're reading his resume. I've been run off from every church I ever pastored. And usually they put me in jail after I left. I've been accused of everything in the world, and most of it I've done. I'm not trying to hide it. I want to be open and honest with you. And I also got to tell you that there's people out there that want to kill me and anybody hangs out with me. Would we hire him? Well, no, we would not. We know there's Paul and there's Silas, most unlikely people in the world. But God touched them with an anointing. How many of you know that sometimes you just got to walk out of fear? You got to get away from fear. Fear will lead you into bondage. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You got to walk away. If you're afraid of what the enemy is going to do or what people are going to do, you're never going to see the glory of God fulfilled in your life. You're never going to be able to experience those Paul and Silas moments. You know, I love this, and I've heard it so many times in all of my ministry, and that is that if you want a prophet's reward, you're going to have to do a prophet's work.
Amen.
If you want a Paul and Silas reward, you're going to have to do a Paul and Silas work.
Amen.
Oh, I'm telling you, they say that Paul was probably 4'10", 4'9", 4'10". Some even stretch him up to 4'11". But he was short in stature, but he was a giant when it came to the work of God. He did not walk in fear of man. The only person he feared was God, and he said that. The only one that turns my heart cold. He could do anything. He was fearful of the only one that could take not only his life, but his soul. You know, I find in this time that we have come to a place that we no longer fear God. We talk about not having fear and not walking in fear, and we forget to tell the folks it's okay to fear God, because that's the beginning of all the wisdom you'll ever have. You've got to learn who to fear and who not to fear. We can't fear man. We can't fear results. We cannot become so fearful that we're not willing to engage in a spiritual battle. So many times, and the reason we have have peace over the world today is not because everybody's good.
Yes.
It's because they're afraid of retaliation.
Amen.
I can look over the countries of the world, and they don't attack us because they're afraid of the retaliation. They're not just because they're good. You know what we need to realize? We need to realize that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And the enemy knows this. And we need to begin to speak those things to the enemy. We need to begin to tell him that greater is he that's in us, and you don't scare me, and I'm not going to allow you to put me in a spirit of fear.
Yes.
And you can say you're going to take this away and take that away, but I want you to know it's not even in my hands, so it certainly isn't in yours. It's in the hands of an almighty God. And if God says you can't have it, you can't have it. And if God says you can have it, then I want you to have it. I don't want to keep nothing that God wants someone else to have. Listen, church, we just got to get to that place like Isaiah. Isaiah, when he saw that things were uncertain and he didn't know what he was going to do, where did he go? To the temple. He headed for the temple. In his mind, he headed for the temple. You got to get it in here first, church. And once you get it in here, God will place it in here. But you realize that when he saw that things were uncertain and he didn't know what was going to happen, he headed for the house of God. The place that held peace for him, the place that held prosperity. He said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be what? Meat in my house. There may be provision in my house. If they were in need, they went to the house of God. Are you there with me, church? In other words, we don't come here just to get a spiritual blessing. We don't come here just to get a hoop and a holler. We don't come here just to be around one another. We need to come here when we're in need, and we need to get something from God, and we need to hear from God. Isaiah was in need. He needed to hear from God. And you know what he wanted God to say? Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Time wouldn't permit me to preach this little passage here, but here are these seraphim, and they had six wings, and two covered their face, and two covered their feet, and two were to fly with. God said, I want you to do what I tell you to do, but I don't want you to stop doing what you do. I want you to do what I tell you to do. I'm going to give you two of those. I want you to cover your face because I don't want you to see where you're going. I want to tell you where you're going. I want you to trust me. I don't want you to trust eyesight. I don't want you to be able to see where you place your foot in your next step. I want to place it for you, and you just keep walking. Are you with me? In other words, you got two wings to fly with. Now, two of them, I want you to cover your face because I want to be your guide. I want to take you where you need to go. And then he said, I want you to cover two of your feet. That means that you can't walk on your own. Listen, how many of you know that you can't get where you are today by yourself? You've had to have help. I don't care who you are, how smart you are. You've got to have help. I'll say this probably till the day I quit preaching, and that is, it's not about what you know, it's who you know. Even in life, it's about, even in the Bible, you can have all knowledge of that book, but if you don't know who that book is about. It's about who you know. It's about who you know, and it's about how you know him. It's about building a relationship with him. You've got to learn how to build a relationship with him. And you cannot build a relationship without what? Communication. The three C's, communication, communication, communication. You got to have communication. I can't build a relationship with my wife without communication. And sometimes you don't have to say a word to communicate. Are you with me? It's communication, though. Regardless, it's communication. And we have to communicate. If you want to build a relationship with God Almighty, you got to communicate with him. You know, we pray like he's a high and lofty God that doesn't have time for us. We got to bring him down to being our Abba, our Father, our Daddy. Well, we can just go to him and talk to him. My father and I, you know, we had such a tremendous relationship. I've read books that every time we have a problem, it always goes back to the father role. If you have an emotional problem, it goes back to the father role in your life. I didn't have any daddy problems. I had a great dad. I can honestly tell you, I can never, ever remember. I remember getting spankings, and I needed every one, and I didn't get some that I did need. But I remember him as a good, just dad. He always wanted to make sure I was well taken care of, and he taught me, hands-on teaching me. So I didn't have any daddy problems. I don't have a problem talking with God like I talked with my daddy. Are y'all there with me? You're going to have to get past all of this garbage and baggage in your life and begin to talk to God like he is your daddy. Hey, Dad, I need to talk to you. And listen, I don't just need to talk to you. I need to hear from you. And I'm guilty, and I know some of you all are guilty as I am, and that is that I pray, all of my prayer just about sometimes is with a question mark behind it. God, will you do this? God, can I have, God? It always has a question. We're always asking for stuff. We're asking for God to give us things and to give us peace and to give us prosperity, to give us joy, to give us health. We're asking, asking, asking. Man, I think that if we could just begin, Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is, so and so. And listen, what's this? You know, you got to start out just giving him some glory. Our Father, you got to call him Daddy. You got to call him Father. Yes. Oh, I just want to know, yes, that when I come to you, I'm really expecting the same thing that I expect, amen, from my earthly, amen, Father. And I know that you're able to give me, amen, anything, because, amen, the whole earth belongs to you. Amen. And you own the cattle of 1,000 hills and all the hill under the cattle and the valleys that's connected to the hill. Yes. I just think that if we could just get personal with God. If we want to finish 2015 far greater than we started 2015, we need to get personal with God. You got to just get on a personal basis with him. And you need to tell him how much you love him and how much you care for him. Remind him of his word. Get in your Bible and say, God, teach me how to pray to you. And you know what the Lord's going to say to you? Find what you want in that book. And then remind me of what I said. Yeah. You find it in that book. The Bible says that. Remind me of my word. Find it in that book, yes, and then, yes, talk to him about it. Yes. You want to properly pray? You want to pray the way God wants you to pray? You want to have what God wants you to have? Get in that book. Pray the word of God. Pray it and allow God to minister through his word. Stand up with me. I believe that we're at a time in history. We're at a time that we need more than just hearing what God has done.
Amen.
We need more than just hearing what God can do. We need more than that. We need to experience God. We don't need to just take what we've read and say, that's what God... We've got to experience Him. We need to experience His power. We need to experience His love. Listen, we don't need to hear about peace. We need to experience God's peace. You know what? We don't know what 2015 has in store for us. I believe that we need to take time to seek the face of God and say, God, whatever you've got for me in 2015, I'm going to give you the glory. I'm going to give you the glory and I'm going to praise you for it. And when we end this year, I'm going to be able to look back and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I take inventory every year. This is the first time I preached in 2015, but I'm here to tell you every year at the end of the year, I take inventory of my life. Where did I start? Where did I finish? My finish must be greater than my start. I've got to come away. Listen, I got to say this. I pray that in the year 2015, when we get down to the end of this year, every one of us have deepened our experience in worship. I pray that we can just move into worship like we've never. I was so excited this morning because there was a spirit of worship in this house. And God was ministering to us. And we were all worshiping. And I'm telling you, His glory just filled the temple this morning. And the train of His robe was wrapping around each of us. And He was stroking us on our cheek and telling us how wonderful how much He loves us and how wonderful we are to Him. God wants you to know you are wonderful to Him. Look at somebody and say, you're wonderful to God. You're wonderful. You are wonderful to God. And God loves you. Last thought. How many of you know that when Isaiah went in to seek the face of God, when Isaiah went in to seek, he began to worship Him. How many of you know praying is worshiping? Amen. Greatest form of worship there is communication with God. And he went in to worship Him. And what happened when he worshiped God? The Bible says God revealed Himself to Isaiah. It was in a moment of worship. Oh, you want to get in the presence of God? You want to experience God? You need to just worship Him. You don't have to know how to worship. You just need to worship. Oh, you don't have to have a choreographic dance to dance before the Lord. Listen, I was looking at little Micah this morning. Derek Vett, he's got more rhythm than I do. Man, he never missed a beat. And then I saw him double clapping sometime. I mean, wow. Listen, you just have your own way of worshiping God. You know, it's just like singing. They just don't allow me to sing with a microphone anywhere close. And that's okay. But they can't stop me when I'm by myself.